Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop. Right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Connor. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, Earl.
You know, this morning I'm going to spend a lot of time exposing Republicans and conservatives, not just from the state, but from across the nation. I'm going to be joined in a few minutes by State Senator Chris Larson. He's going to spend the first hour with us, and we're going to, you know, I thought it was important that we would bring Senator Larson on today. He's been a staunch fighter at the state level and fighting for what's right in the state, fighting for what's right for citizens, you know, in Milwaukee and other places. And, you know, he's one, a senator in the minority, and he's been in the minority as long as he's been a senator. And I don't know how a guy like Chris Larson can take it. You know, I couldn't take it. There's no way I could sit in Madison and sit next to people who really have some, have it in for Democrats and have it in for the state. Cities like Milwaukee, Madison, Racine, Kenosha, and their focus is war. You know, I had Joe McNally on yesterday, a war-winning journalist, you know, who spent, I don't know, 40 years or more in the city of Milwaukee and writing about, you know, what happens with Republicans and conservatives. And you know, what is happening with these people is really unbelievable. And as we speak, I am joined by a good friend and a man I respect tremendously, State Senator Chris Larson. Hey, good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. I'm good. How are you doing?
Man, it's good to have you on the airways, man. I've got to get you on more. Because, you know, when you spend a lot of time focusing on national issues, you forget sometimes that the real issues are the ones in your state. And so when I was looking at the mayor's budget, Mayor Johnson, and looking at all the fallout that he's receiving, for having to cut, you know, 17 positions on the police department that already takes up almost the entire property tax levy for the city of Milwaukee, and not to mention the percentage of the pensions that the city of Milwaukee is soon to be upside down on. And you're in Madison, and I know the new mayor, Cavalier Johnson, and the new county executive, where am I forgetting his name? The new county executive. Anyway, his name will come to me. But anyway, those two young men, when they came in, David Crowley, when they came in, they said, we are going to work with the legislature. We are new, and we believe we can have dialogue with them because the former county executive, Chris Abley, and the former mayor, Tom Barrett, were not able to broker any kind of deal to allow Milwaukee County and as far and other cities across this state to get their fair share of revenue. So, Senator Larson, do you see anything in the future where, you know, your colleagues are willing to do the right thing and allow the city of Milwaukee, Milwaukee County, and other cities to fund, raise funds enough to make sure that their cities are solvent?
Yeah, well, early, I always enjoy being on. I agree. I should be on more.
You will be on more. I guarantee you.
You can always tell how long it's been since I've been on, of how long the preface is to your question, because we're trying to catch up on a lot.
I know.
But yeah, to hit it right at the beginning, yeah, there's been a denigration of local politics being covered by the media just because they're, you know, getting newspapers, paying for subscriptions, and so people really. And it's easy to miss it now because
Senator Larson, are you on the speakerphone?
No. Okay. Sorry, I'm just going. You should ask me now. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm going over the dead spot of the Hone Bridge.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
For those who know Milwaukee.
Okay. Go ahead.
But yeah, so what I was going to say is the people may have been missing what's happening in Madison because the media is no longer there to cover it. It's not that they're not covering it. The media doesn't really exist to cover it anymore. But then beyond that, right, we haven't been in.
I know.
The legislature has not been in since March. Right. And this, we are not scheduled to be back until January. Just yesterday, the governor called for a special session again to try and pry legislators out of vacation mode and back into the Capitol before I think he even finished his speech. The Republicans who gerrymandered themselves in the power replied by saying, you know, they're not planning on taking off the Hawaiian shirt and leaving vacation anytime soon. They're not coming back, and basically until there's snow on the ground, regardless, you know, of what the call is, whether it be for trying to be able to get more funding for education in the state, whether it be for trying to do something to make sure that women have the right to privacy and rights over their own reproductive freedom, and we haven't defaulted to this 1849 law, or to be able to do anything for local governments. They're just refusing to come in. So I'm always happy to come on and talk. Now to the heart of your question, Milwaukee is always punching above its weight as far as the state goes in terms of economic development, in terms of job creation, in terms of our robust education system, both K-12 and the universities and tech colleges. But where we do get shortchanged is when the revenue is supposed to be coming back. We do a lot in terms of revenue push to the state. But there's something called shared revenue, which is it used to be a real term that actually reflected reality, where the money that went to Madison was shared back to the communities. That has not been the case now for over 20 years, where Milwaukee is a net loser. We produce the revenue here, it goes to Madison, and then it scatters to other places across the state and doesn't come back here. So when people are talking about how Mayor Johnson or Executive Crowley are supposed to balance their budgets, their tools are very, very restricted because the state is supposed to collect the revenue for them, for us, and give it back to us. So it is. I guess the easiest thing, right? Sometimes government can get caught up in a way where people don't understand it. The easiest way to think about it is a bully. Basically, the bully is taking a cut of the money here, and then refusing to give the portion back that will actually let Milwaukee thrive in the way that it wants to. And so, what Mayor Johnson and Executive Crowley have been trying to do is the same as their predecessors have been trying to do, is get revenue flexibility, right? Which means that they can raise money on their own without having to go to the state and say, pretty, pretty please, give our tax revenue back to us. But to say, you know what? let's put a hotel room tax out there when we have all these conventions coming to town. Let's have a sales tax, which a third is paid for from folks outside of the community, and Milwaukee is the largest tourist destination in the state, or to be able to have increased fees that, again, are paid for folks from outside who are benefiting from the city but not paying into the system because they don't pay property taxes. That's all they're asking. I'm guessing you already know what the answer has been, Earl.
Yes, sir.
From Madison.
And you know what, Senator Larson? Comparable cities like Milwaukee across this nation are allowed to raise that sales tax. And so you have to ask the question, why is it then would the legislature be opposed to the economic engine of the entire state being able to remain solvent? What would be the rationale? Because if the city of Milwaukee fails, what happens to the state?
Right. That's it. The same thing that happens if the engine on your car fails, that you're stuck, right? You're going to have to get out and push because it's not going to move. And so they are purposefully. Here's the insidious thing about it, Earl, because it doesn't just crash and burn. It leads to services going down and leads to problems, which, you know, as the cycle continues, they point at it saying, ah, look at these guys. They can't figure out how to manage their own community. Give us more power so we can take control and we can get things in line over there, right? You see in the ads that are ginning up the fear. So that's what they do. Instead of helping, they never at the end of the day say, oh, yeah, here's what we could do to actually help it. They just say, look at the problem, be fearful of the problem, vote for us. But they've done that for decades.
I know,
they're going to keep doing it.
So, Senator Larson, when we get back, I really, a man of your stature who sits down and tries to break bread and have dialogue with these people, I'm just interested in what their responses are, why they don't want to do what's right, and if it's a personal issue with the city of Milwaukee. Got to go to a break. State Senator Chris Larson is on the line. I'm really happy he is. Like I said, it's been a while, but it won't be after this. Make sure we get him on more. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be back. Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm joined by State Representative Chris Larson and Senator Larson. Before I go back to you, I got to read a couple paragraphs in a rag call of Wisconsin right now. Unintimidated. So I don't know if you're familiar with that paper, but anyway, Eric Toney and Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson spar on Twitter over police officer cuts. Eric Toney is a Republican who is running attorney. He's a Republican running for the attorney general position. So Eric Toney called on Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson to reconsider his 2023 budget proposal that equates to the loss of about 17 officers as an already severely depleted Milwaukee Police Department grapples with historic homicide numbers. This prompted a heated exchange with Mayor Johnson on Twitter. At a time when the Milwaukee police are already short nearly 250 officers, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson proposed cutting the budget for police officers by 1%, which equates to the loss of about 17 officers. Toney said, the Fond du Lac County DA wrote. Now, he's the DA in Fond du Lac County. Mayor Johnson responded by, Milwaukee's not your punching bag, and trying to mislead people by saying his budget increases funding to MPD. However, the Milwaukee Journal just wrote a story that backs up Tony's position, not Johnson's. Now, again, this periodical is a conservative rag, and so it's not going to be telling the truth. So the 2023 proposed budget release Monday calls for a 1% reduction in sworn police officers, the elimination of two fire engines, and substantial cuts in the hours of programming at five of the city's 12 neighborhood libraries, the newspaper wrote. The newspaper continues in the proposed budget. The average sworn strength in the police department would drop from 1,657 officers to 1,640. For comparison purposes, consider that MPD had 2,130 sworn police officers in 1995. So, Senator Larson, if we're to believe what this gentleman who's running for the state attorney general is saying, then the city of Milwaukee and Mayor Johnson is looking to cut police because he enjoys doing it. He thinks it's the right thing to do. But you and I know, and others know, the reason. The city does not have the resources. Because of what you and I just talked about before we went to break.
Right. Right. No, it's a problem. Just to be clear, though, this might shock you, but this website that you're pointing at is not reflective of the truth or reality. Mayor Johnson, shocking. I hope you're sitting down. Mayor Johnson's budget actually does increase the amount of money that is going to law enforcement. For whatever reason, that part of the story is not getting covered. I think that there is, there's a pretty robust public relations machine that the MPD operates that pushes to try and say that they're always losing, they're always getting cuts unnecessarily, and does not take, responsibility for the larger problems that they are not helping to resolve. And so they are the ones who are ginning this up and saying, this is a cut, when in reality there's an increase of funds going. What's happening is that they are they're ending a few of the positions, but there's more money going to them because MPD notoriously does not get control of its overtime. It is one of the things that officers will purposefully try to get as much overtime as possible to try and game the retirement system. Anybody who knows folks who've been around there for a while know that that's something that's happening, but that's something that this Fond du Lac guy is choosing to ignore on purpose, right? Milwaukee has been, unfortunately, a punching bag for the state for decades, right? And he certainly wasn't the first. This guy's not the first one. He's not the last one. You and I have talked about it. Also not the first one, but one of the more memorable ones, right? Tommy Thompson made a habit of beating up Milwaukee, like
yes,
going out state.
Stick it to Milwaukee.
Stick them to him. Stick it to Milwaukee. Right. And so that sentiment of the divide that exists outstate against Milwaukee is something that is pushed, right? What they're doing there, though, right, is they wanted to break down any potential for commonality between us and the rest of the state. Basically, just trying to artificially divide the state into pieces. When the reality is, the state, pardon my language, has been screwing over everybody equally, right? What the Republicans have been doing, though, is they like to point at Milwaukee and say, ha-ha, look how much they're suffering, and that somehow is supposed to make them accept that they're suffering, too, and their funds have been cut, too. But, Governor Evers put money in his budget to increase shared revenue, and unfortunately, Republicans cut it. So when they're talking about who's defunding the police, well, it's the Republicans. It's the one who are making those accusations. So it's this guy from Fond du Lac and his own party have done that. And to make it worse, they actually restrict local government's ability to raise revenue on their own to pay for it, right? And so they're forced to cut. So this is them forcing it, and then just to be able to have this fight while doing absolutely nothing to help address the underlying problem.
Senator Larson, hang on a second. We've got to go to a break. My guest is State Senator Chris Larson. You two can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is State Senator Chris Larson. You know, Senator Larson, you stated earlier, and maybe it was a Freudian slip, that you guys haven't been in session since March, and you won't be going back until when?
Until next year. January.
Next year? So wait a minute. For those of us who don't understand and how it can possibly be that our representatives in a representative government and all the things that go on in the states and in the cities, in the state and in the cities, that we need to have leadership and direction in, who made the decision to say we're going to take the year off?
Yeah, so I will say, yes, we are out. And it does not mean that there are not mounting problems. You know, this is legislature called it. They actually called it earlier than normal, and decided, nope, we're not coming back at all. And what's really bonkers is, as much as folks are dealing with the effects of global inflation, right? Prices are going up everywhere because of war in Ukraine that Russia started, because of other supply issues, just things starting up after the pandemic that everybody in the world is dealing with. Other countries are stepping up to fix this, right? The federal government is stepping up to try and fix this, right? Biden and all of the Democrats voted for the Inflation Reduction Act. Every Republican notoriously voted against it. In Wisconsin, other states, by the way, are doing things to address it. In Wisconsin, legislature is just refusing to go in. The governor's calling them in. Governor Evers is calling, has tried to call folks into session to try and address some of this, especially on education funding, right when school is going back. And here is the wild part about it. We have money. We have $5 billion. Billion with a B, right? Remember the hullabaloo about the megabucks?
Right.
Two months ago? This is double that. This is more than that. This is more than double that jackpot. That is money that the state, we have already paid, and it is sitting, right? If you can picture a big vault, it's not actually a vault, but you can picture one. It's just sitting there. And the Republicans are basically sitting on it like Scrooge McDuck, refusing to spend it on increasing special education, which we are way lower than we need to be, or way lower than we should be on funding special education in the state, and everyone suffers. In basically allowing for smaller class sizes, which is something that has grown. Schools have had to go to referendum. There's over $1 billion up on referendum across the state this cycle alone, making up the gap from the cuts from the state. If they're actually interested in public safety and wanting to actually reverse what they've done in defunding the police at the state level, they could do that. They're refusing to. They are just sitting on this, and it's worse than that, Earl, because the reason they want to sit on it, because they do not want to give any
Governor Evers
credit.
Any credit.
Exactly. They don't want to give any credit to him. And worse than that, they would love to give another giant tax cut to the richest of the rich and to corporations that don't need it, right? Think think Foxconn on steroids. That's what they're waiting for while the rest of us suffer. So they're on vacation, sitting on our money.
You know, Senator Larson, there are Republicans and conservatives who listen to this show every day. I know because they call. And the amazing thing to me is that they're cowardly because they always want to call and tell me about Milwaukee, and it's a failure because it's been run by Democrats, right? And and yet when we throw truth bombs out like what we're talking about right now, not a peep from them, right? They won't utter a mumbling word. Because the truth comes out, and when the truth points the finger at them, which is the majority of the time, you know, the fact that they're sitting on that money and they'll let people be hurt and injured in the state because they want to try to make sure that a guy... I'm Tim Michaels and I'm a businessman. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. So
right.
That's the guy.
Connecticut.
You don't know anything at all about this guy who has a $17 million home.
In
Connecticut. And so somebody tells you, hey, Tim Michaels is the guy. We want him as our governor. What has he done? Nothing. Well, I'm Tim Michaels, and I'm a businessman. And so that's reason enough that people in this state won't demand, because the people should be demanding that the legislature goes back into session.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're a Republican, whoever you are, but they won't open their mouths. Go ahead, Senator Larson.
No, I was just going to say it's a hard thing to change people's minds, but the facts, if people are willing to do that and willing to have an open mind, and I do my best to get back to folks when they reach out. Obviously, trolls are going to troll, but if people are genuinely interested in a conversation, I'm happy to have that, right? And I think it's the only way that we're going to try and change people's minds and get them out of silos. But it's a very clear formula on this one. You painted it beautifully, Earl, right? If Republicans are saying this is the problem and they're worried about whatever issue it is, how can they persist in saying that it's still a problem while sitting on $5 billion and refuse to do anything about it? You know, and I think if people have an open mind, they should accept the idea, or at least entertain the idea, that they want those problems to exist because they have helped create them for the purposes of political benefit. They have no interest in solving these problems, right, that they've helped create.
You know, Senator Larson, you know, I'm a taxpayer too. You know, I'm a property owner. I pay my taxes. I don't have any problem with paying my taxes. But I'll be doggone if I want to have, you know, that money come back. Because what you're hearing from the right is, well, the people who put the money in, we want it back. Well, it doesn't amount to a whole lot. It's not going to change my life. It will certainly be more impactful if it went to address the issues in these cities and towns across the state than sitting somewhere. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Hey, Bill. How you doing? What do you say, my friend?
Oh, thank you, Governor. Thank you, Earl, by the way. I should call you Governor Earl. You know, we need you as governor.
No, we've got the right governor. All right, but go ahead.
Okay, but thanks for having Chris on. He opened my eyes. I didn't realize that the lying Republicans, again, are lying. They're defunding the police by holding this money back. They're actually defunding the police. I think we got to change our market ploy and make Wisconsin aware they're sitting on all this money and refuse to give the taxpayers the quality of services they need. Thanks, Chris, for being on this show and opening the eyes.
Hey, Bill, hang on. Chris, you want to respond to Bill?
Sir.
I don't want to speak before Governor Earl has a chance to that. No, I think that's great. Was it Bill or Phil?
Bill.
Phil. Okay, yeah. So that I'm glad that he is listening. I'm glad that he's realizing that. But the reality, you know, that's it, right? People have to recognize this. And the truth is not just going to get out on its own. People do have to spread that, right? And they have to talk about this so that they recognize, frankly, that they're trying to distract from larger problems, which is, as you kind of mentioned, Earl, you know, we've got this guy who swooped in from Connecticut and came down from on high from his multi-million-dollar mansion and is coming down among the people and trying to say, oh, yes, I'm ready to rule you, you know, when he is coming from states away and doesn't know what the real problems are. And frankly, many of the problems that he's talking about addressing were caused by the party that has rigged itself into place, into power. So, and they're trying to distract. And we haven't talked about it yet. It's worth bringing up. They're trying to distract from the reality that women across the country have woken up to the extremism of the Republican Party after the Supreme Court decision came down under Dobbs and eliminated their right to individual reproductive freedom, eliminated the right to privacy for all of us, and is talking about doing things further down the road. People realize, you know what? This is not just rhetoric or just talk off in Madison or off in D.C. This is affecting real people's lives here. And there is a clear contrast between where Tim Michaels, who it's worth pointing out, Earl, you know, he spent his money donating to a foundation that tracks women.
Yeah, who have abortions.
Around abortions, right. Tracking women. So not just, he can't just say, "Oh yeah, you know, this is a guy who doesn't think that there should be abortions, even in case of rape, even in case of incest." They're going so far as his organization, his money has spent was spent to track women who are seeking abortions. I think most people find that chilling. I think that there's a recognition that we do not want to be tracked, right? And that is the next frontier of what we should be fighting for, of having a right to individual privacy, not having government follow you around for sure, but also not having individual private companies. And that's what he's looking to try and do, both of those things. And women are not having it. Voter registrations are way up for women across the state. And frankly, that is going to be one of the defining issues this election cycle.
You know, Senator Larson and Tom, I see you. We'll come to you. The truth of the matter is, and so Republicans realize now that they put their foot in it. And so they're spending their time on the local and national levels saying abortion's not an issue. Abortion is not going to be one of the issues. The issues are going to be crime and inflation, as if they somehow are going to change the narrative to women who've already realized what they've done. They've already done this without having dialogue and conversation with women. And so they, in their feeble minds, believe that they can confuse people with saying, that's not the issue anymore. The issue, again, is crime. The issue is inflation. Excuse me. And all of those things, yeah, they do matter. But if they think for 1 minute they're going to be able to use this smokescreen and the women are going to forget, well, they'll soon find out.
Yeah, no, and this is, and there is a clear contrast, right, where Tim Michaels, you know, Connecticut millionaire, spent his money tracking women who are trying to access abortions, whereas Governor Evers has called not one, but two special sessions to try and get the legislature out of vacation to come back in and reverse this 1849 law that is on the books that doesn't allow for rape, even in the cases of rape or incest.
That Tim Michaels supports.
That's exactly right.
I mean, you saw the question mark look on his face when they asked him the question. do you support that? And he has this question mark look on his face. And then it finally registers, and then he says, well, yeah, I support that. What? Well, I'm right. Tim Michaels, and I'm a businessman. You should vote for me. Got to go to
a
break.
And Earl, you remember recently when everyone's saying, they were saying you can't force people to wear masks and stuff. People should be able to make decisions for themselves. How quickly that disappeared.
I know.
How quickly that disappeared.
Senator Larson, hang on. Tom, we'll come to you after the break. 844-967-2789. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is State Senator Chris Larson. And I'm Tim Michaels, and I'm a businessman. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call. Are you sure you're not Tim Michaels, the businessman?
No, I'm Tom Adler, the business. First off, we the people are the government, ultimately, and we must never forget that. Second, Chris Larson is one of my favorite politicians.
Mine too.
I wish I had the ability to be able to vote for him in Wisconsin, even though I'm not there anymore.
Well, we're going to keep him there.
Yeah, exactly. No, he's awesome. I want to know why it is. I want to hear some Republicans actually call in.
It won't.
And ask how they feel about these lazy guys and gals that are not showing up to work. I'm guessing CJ and Lou and Dave and Gary, all these guys.
I'm guessing, you know they're listening.
Yeah, I'm guessing they show up for work. I'm guessing that they show up for work. I mean, how much, Chris, can I just ask a question? How much are those Republicans making a year sitting at home doing nothing?
I don't know.
Over $50,000 a year. Plus, if they do stop by the Capitol, they get per diems, which is, so they actually get even more than that. But yeah, 50,000, not too bad.
But you know, Tom, even the fact, whatever, notwithstanding what they get paid, they're not taking care of the business of the state and the citizens in a representative government.
Republicans, they think Democrats are just lazy bums that don't work. So therefore, I'm just trying to bring it to the forefront that if somebody wants a job for 60 grand, I guess go into the Republican legislature and, you'll make some money. I mean, this is absolutely insane that they don't work, number one. Number two, they don't pass anything that actually gives you return on investment from your tax dollars. Come on, people in Wisconsin, wake up. Start getting some people in there that are going to help you get the return on investment from your tax dollars. Right now, all these guys are doing is doing things that restrict your privacy rights, for God's sake. A woman's right to choose doesn't mean she has to have an abortion. Just means that she has the right to choose. Everyone ought to be watching The Handmaid's Tale if they want to see the future of this country. If you elect a Russian Ron and a MAGA Michaels, because that's exactly where you're headed. And you know what? What is it with you Republicans that you're such victims and you're so scared to be able to call up on this show and say that you think it's right for someone to be on vacation until the next year and get
since
paid
March.
60 grand
since,
a year.
Since March. And you know, Tom, you can't beat them calling up and talking about Democrats, right?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. they have no problem. And Milwaukee, it's run by the Democrats and blah, blah, blah. And then the funding comes from the state. And the state has been gerrymandered so bad that Republicans basically walk into the doors. Come on, Republican. Any of you mega Republicans, you have any guts to call up on the show and say that you think it's cool that these people don't work at all and they get paid $60,000 a year? Wow, talk about some welfare, corporate welfare queens, if you ask me.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much
and
for the call, man.
I
really appreciate it. So Senator Larson, in the absence of you know, our governor, who I think has really done some great things as the governor. The governor is, whether Republicans like it or not, the governor is still, you know, in the state, he's still got positive acceptance. Even though things are gerrymandered, the majority of the people in the state support Governor Evers. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I think that's absolutely right. And I appreciate Tom pointing these things out and you pointing these things out. The Governor Evers is recognized as the guy. He's the guy who was a teacher, right? He was in the classrooms working with kids patiently, right? And, I think that goes on. Frankly, the job of a teacher is underrated to begin with. But for somebody to do that, make a career of that, and then continue to work up the food chain of being a principal, of being the assistant state superintendent, the state superintendent, again, working to try and make sure that our kids have what they need to be successful year after year, and now trying to do that as governor, he has committed himself to that. And unfortunately, Republicans have tried to stand in the way of him every step of the way, and they're trying to paint him as if he's some type of wild-eyed radical, when all he's trying to do is make sure to right the ship after Scott Walker took us way off course and made things so problematic, so divisive. This is the guy who's tried to do that. This is Tony Evers signed not one but two of the Republican budgets. Right after they went through and ripped what he put together apart, he said, you know what, I want to make sure to try and work with these guys. Some of that I did disagree with, but he said, I'm trying to do what's best for the state. People see that. Voters see that, especially in contrast to somebody who's trying to come in and divide, and somebody who's trying to talk about eliminating attorney general, district attorneys that he doesn't like,
right,
and trying to do this wild conspiracy stuff from the Republicans, somebody who's trying to dismantle public education, break school districts into pieces, raise property taxes by over $500 million by shifting to unaccountable vouchers. So people get it. People get what's at stake here. And I think they're going to be voting accordingly in the next 7 weeks.
You know, Senator Larson, and also the fact that the Republicans had to go outside of state to find somebody. They went and got this guy. He wasn't living here. He didn't want to.
Right.
He didn't believe in the state of Wisconsin, so he didn't live here. So they had to go and recruit him from outside of state to bring him into Wisconsin. And it is so outlandish. But Senator Larson, I wish we had more time, but I promise you, it won't be so long the next time.
I'm going to hold you to that. I appreciate being on as always. Keep up the good fight.
Kiss the babies, man. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, I will.
All right. That's State Senator Chris Larson. Phone lines are open as always at 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be back.